Amen. I love that song. Amen. Thank God I can say today, I'm a soldier of the cross. Amen. I'm a soldier of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Appreciate so much Miss Selah singing that for us today. Again, I appreciate you coming out, being with us in the morning service. I tell you, God has really blessed us this week. Amen. God's been good to us. God's given us a beautiful day today, and I'm thankful for His blessings. Amen. Thankful for His goodness and His mercy. Take your Bibles with me and open up to Job chapter 29. Job 29, of course, Job's right in front of the book of Psalm, Job 29. I want to read to you from verse 1 down through verse number 5. Job 29, verse 1 down through verse number 5. And I want to speak to you this morning a thought before the children went away. Before the children went away. Bible says in Job 29 and verse 1, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." You know, there are very few biblical characters whose life story really has produced more heartwarming sermons than that of Job. I've heard through the years, I've heard some tremendous sermons on the book of Job, amen. I've heard tremendous sermons on this great man of God right here. And throughout the centuries, you know, we've heard the story of how one fell stroke of providence robbed Job of everything he had in his life. I mean, God comes down really and God allows Job to lose everything he has. When I say everything, I mean Job lost everything. He lost his health. He lost his home. He lost his family. He lost everything. He lost his finances. You name it, Job lost it. His earthly possessions vanished literally in a day. His health and his strength were all taken from him. You go back and you study in the first part of Job, you'll find a horrible disease covered his body from head to toe, and there were wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And as he sat up on the ash heap, he was scraping the boils from his broken glass, from a broken piece of glass off his body. His wife sits there, and his wife prescribes as a remedy, just curse God and die. Job, you're going through too much. There's too much turmoil. There's too much stress. There's too much bad things happening. Job, just go ahead, curse God, and get out of this mess. Curse God and just go ahead and quit and give up and go on to heaven. You see, Job tasted the bitterness of life as no other saint of God ever has. And yet in the midst of such despair, the darkness of the hour of tragedy for Job had still not arrived in his life. Because I believe when word arrived that his seven sons and his three daughters had died a tragic death by way of a storm, no doubt at that moment, his world was completely destroyed. I can't even begin to comprehend in my mind losing one child. But Job lost 10 children all at once. I mean, right then and right there, you talk about a world being destroyed. Job's world was destroyed, amen. It's one thing to suffer when it's about you and only you. I can get through that a lot better. When I just suffer by myself and get through that, that's okay. But Job lost every child he had at once. The despair, the guilt, the discouragement, it had to be overwhelming for him. And without doubt, in the mind of Job, his life was over. I mean, stop and think about it for a moment. There was no point in going on. There was no point in living. He wanted to die. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't blame Job for feeling like that. I mean, if I lost all of my children at one time in such a tragic way, I can understand the sorrow. I could no doubt understand the despair. You know, there may be someone sitting in this room right now who knows exactly what Job was feeling to an extent. You buried a child. Maybe you buried a spouse. Maybe you buried a loved one and you just seem to can't get past it. Amen. It keeps coming back to it and it haunts you and it haunts you and it haunts you. And behind closed doors you see it and you mourn and you grieve continually. And you honestly cannot fathom how you're going to go on in life without your loved one. You're sitting there and you cannot fathom how you're going to go on without that friend in your life. And as we come up on Job in our text right here, he's now thinking of the days that are gone. He's thinking of the memory of his 10 precious children whom he would never ever see again on this earth. And from the depths of his broken heart comes the words in our text, "Oh, that I were as in months past, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." Parents, you hear me well this morning. Let me say that while our children are about us, I don't care how young or old they may be, I don't care if they're at home or away, let us share a close bond. Let us share a close love while we still can. Because while you can still see their face and hear their voice, while you can feel their touch, you better enjoy your children and make the most of what God's given you, amen. Don't waste time arguing and bickering and fussing and feuding. But while your children are about you, you enjoy the moments and pleasures of life that God's given you. You say, "Why, Brother Tim?" Because this way may never pass again. We're not guaranteed another day on this earth. And if you're ever going to love your children, if you're ever going to love your family, if you're ever going to love yourself, do it now while you still have time. Just for a few moments this morning, I want you to consider with me three things. And I want you to ask yourself, are these three things really a part of my life? Are these three things a part of my home? Consider, first of all, the provision for your children. Let me ask you a very serious question. Is your home a happy place? If you were put on the spot, or should I say, if your children were put on the spot today, could your children honestly say that the happiest place they've ever known is the home of their father and mother? If your children were put on the spot, could they say the happiest place I've ever been in my life is in my home? You know, in every home, there must be a provision of security. You see, the home should be a place of security for every member of the family. A place where joy and happiness is felt on a daily basis, amen. And truth is, if your children are deprived of joy, if they're deprived of happiness in the home where mom and dad do not show their love, they may just go out. They may go out of the highways and byways of sin among reprobates and find the love they would deny at home. You say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I'm just too busy with my job, or I'm just too busy with my activities or other things to give my family all of my time. I'd like to give them my time. I want to show them my love, my affection. I mean, they can watch TV, or they can listen to their music. They can go to school. They can just enjoy themselves. Surely there's things that can keep them busy." You hear me well this morning. God never gave your children to the state. He never gave your children to the school. He never gave your children to the church. But God gave your son and your daughter to you, and you shall answer for how you raise them. Amen. We shall give an account for the way we raise our children. You know, he's entrusted you with the upbringing of your family. And whether you realize it or not, but one day you shall give an account before Almighty God for the home you have. As well, there must be provision only of security, but there must be provision of sanctity. You know, one thing I believe that's lacking in many homes today is the honor of parents. One thing that's lacking in the home today is respect for one another. You know, there are too many homes that are ripped apart by anger and bitterness between each other. And as a parent, be honest this morning, is there godliness? Is there holiness that is seen in your home? Is there sanctity of manners in your home? Or are you always arguing and fighting with each other? Are you always sitting there griping and grumbling and murmuring and bickering and just going through hard times with each other? You know, of course, I drive that school bus for West Jones every day. And I see so many children get on that school bus, and you can just look in their face and you can see in their eyes that they live a hard life. You can see in their eyes where their home is not happy whatsoever, because they get on that bus, and sometimes they get on that bus and some of them are crying, amen, because they've had a hard morning already. They've already had a tough day. And they get on that bus, and then they go home, and a lot of times they get off that bus, and some of them don't want to get off the bus. Some of them want to stay on the bus because they don't want to be around family. And it breaks my heart. And you sit there and you see the hurt, and you see the anger, and you see the bitterness. I mean, I'm going to shoot straight with you this morning. Why should your children be compelled to live in a home where parents are living a hell on earth life? Amen. You say, "Brother Tim, they should just get right." You see, the problem is we as parents, we as moms and dads should get right. Why cause them to look back upon their childhood as being the most miserable time of their life? And yet many parents, what bothers me, I'll be honest with you, Many parents want to shift the blame to their child and not take full responsibility for their home. God have mercy on such arrogance of the home. I know there's some good places out there where they take in rebellious children, and they take in these children that have gotten so out of control that you got to send them to a home, and you get the home to help them out. I believe we don't need a home for rebellious children. I believe many times we just need a home for rebellious parents. Amen. I believe we need a home for rebellious moms and dads. Because a lot of times, it's not the child's fault many times. Let's just be honest about it. We go back through the years, and we go back when they're toddlers, and we go back when they're preschool age, because mom and dad wasn't doing what they should have been doing for the honor of the glory of God. That's when that child grew up to be rebellious. That's when that child grew up to be mean and ugly and not wanting to serve the Lord at all. And many times we lose that responsibility because we want to throw it off on everybody else. We want to sit there and say, well, it's not my fault. I got news for you. The church's not going to answer for your child. The home, some home you send your children off to, they're not going to answer for the child when they stand before God. When you go and stand before God, eternity is going to be mom and dad that answers for the children, amen. More so, it's going to be the father that answers for the children, amen. There must be sanctity in the home. There must be security in the home. But again, another provision that must be provided in the home is there must be salvation. Do you realize this morning that on the day your child was conceived, you gave life to an immortal soul that will live forever and forever and forever? I mean, think about that for a moment. Every child that's born will live for eternity. And your child will spend eternity either in the glorious bliss of heaven or sadly in the burning lake of fire forever, amen. And at that judgment, if your children are lost without God, I do believe with all my heart that you must answer the Lord for the trust He imposed upon you with that precious child. Folks, this responsibility, I believe, of every father and every mother to see to it that your children are purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the most heart-wrenching hour you'll ever face will be the judgment seat of Christ. I believe the blood of your lost child will be dripping from your hands if that child is lost without God. By the way, I believe, according to Ezekiel chapter 3, I believe the blood of every soul that we've ever had a chance to witness to, that we didn't witness to, that we turned away from, if that soul dies without God, I believe their blood, as the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, I believe their blood will be dripping from our hands, amen. And the last thing I want dripping from my hands is the blood of my children, because I didn't be a witness to them. I didn't try to give them Jesus Christ crucified. Therefore, no matter what friction, no matter what bitterness lies between you and your children, you better make sure their soul is saved. You ought not to be able to sleep at night knowing your children are doomed for a burning hell. While our children are about us, let us provide them with happy homes. Let us provide them with wholesome homes. Consider not only the provision for your children, but also, number two, think about the position of your Christ. You know, I do understand the upbringing of your family is a tremendous task. I understand that full well, amen. I've got three children of my own, and it can never be accomplished with any degree of success without the continual help of heaven, amen. I need God to help me raise my children. Amen. I need God to help me raise my home, amen. And if you don't have God in your home, you've got trouble already, amen. Yes, you better have Lord in your home on a continual basis. Amen. Question is, what place does God have in your home? Do you honor the Christ of God? Do you honor the Word of God in your home on a daily basis? Do you honor the day of God? Do you honor the house of God? When it comes time to be in church, are you there on a continual basis? You say, as a father, don't you think it'd be nice if you assumed the leadership of your home and became the pastor of your own little flock, amen? Do you ever spend time at home with your children in prayer? Do you ever spend time at home with your children in Bible reading, amen? Do you ever talk about anything spiritual with your family outside of the church? Or do you only talk about spiritual things when you're at church? You see, many times people say, well, Brother Tim, you know, it's just difficult to find a convenient time in my daily schedule to do those kind of things. No, the truth is, where there's a will, there's a way, amen. If you really want to, it'll happen. It amazes me. You know, you find time to play sports and do extra activities at school, but no time for God. Oh, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with activities. I love sports, amen. I love activities. But, you know, we should make that same kind of amount of time for God. You find time to go to the movies and enjoy family time together, but still no time for God. You enjoy wonderful trips for your children on vacation. That's great. That's wonderful. That's good. We need to do those kind of things. But you just can't figure out a time for God at home. Truth is, the position of Christ in your home is last and non-existent. You know why? Because mom and dad have no time for God. And yet when little Junior grows up, and when he never darkens the doors of a church, then we wonder, where did we go wrong? You hear me again this morning. I love sports. I love activities as much as anybody does. And if you know me at all, you know that's true. I'm a big sports man. But the most thrilling thing you'll ever hear is when your child bows their head in prayer and speaks to its Heavenly Father. If you want to get to my heart, if you want your child to get to your heart, you teach your child how to pray, amen. You teach your child how to get a hold of God. You know, I want them to have fun in sports. I want them to be good ball players if that's what they want to do. I want them to have the kind of athletic ability they can have. That's great. That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. But the greatest ability they can ever have is to know how to get a hold of God. Is to know how to pray to our Savior. And by the way, they'll do it proudly if they see that it's not beneath their mother's dignity or their father's dignity to pray also. Let me ask you something, mom and dad. Do you train your children to pray? The greatest skill I can train my son or daughter in is that of prayer. You know, sports and activities are good. Learning how to make a living is great in life. But the greatest skill you can ever teach your child is how to get a hold of God in time of need. Because I got news for you. When that son or that daughter is in dire need, sports not going to get them out of trouble. You know, a good job's not going to get them out of trouble. What's going to get them out of trouble is they're going to need God. They're going to need the Savior. What position does Christ have in your home? Are you placing an emphasis in your home on spiritual things or on things that will pass away? And then finally, I want you to consider with me the promotion of the church. You know, it's sad to say, but the present generation is growing up in America right now during a period of great spiritual declension. It saddens my heart to know that our children, our grandchildren, they're growing up in a time in America like no other time. And we're seeing our children and grandchildren grow up in a generation where the spiritual age is just getting worse and worse and worse. And nobody wants to serve God anymore. Nobody wants to live for God anymore. Matter of fact, statistics declare on Sunday mornings, right now on Sunday mornings, less than 10% of America's population is at church. Right now, at this moment, less than 10% of all America is at church right now. On Sunday evenings, 98% of our population is absent from the house of God. I saw a statistic here the other day. Only 4% of churches are even having a Sunday night service. A lot of churches right here in Laurel don't even have Sunday night service anymore. You know, it's little wonder that the blood of American sons and daughters has saturated over 80 battlefields around the world. While our children are about us, let us promote the house of God. How sad it is to think that parents have dragged their children to liberal churches where the gospel in its purity is never preached. And yet if you persist in going there, you say, that's where I want to go. That's where all the things are going on. That's where all the activities are going on. You may meet lovely friends. You may enjoy great activities. But you will reap someday in heartache what you're sowing today in neglect, amen. It doesn't matter who's buried in the church graveyard. That's where my grandpa, my grandma's at. If that church is promoting a social watered-down gospel from a corrupt text, then you'll raise a family that's spiritually dead without Christ, amen. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's where I've always gone to. That's where my family's always been. If that church is preaching anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's preaching from a corrupt text and not preaching, thus saith the Lord, you'll have a spiritually dead church. You'll have a spiritually dead family. Your children will spiritually dry up and rot away on the inside. And then we wonder, why is my life like this? Why is my family like this? Why not determine this morning to have a home that promotes a church that exalts Christ as Lord of all? While our children are about us, whether young or old, whether at home or already moved off away, let us share a love. Let us share a close bond while we still can. Don't be like Job and have to live with regrets the rest of your life. Job said, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were round about me. I wonder this morning, is your home a happy place? Are your children saved by the grace of God? Is Christ first in your home? You know, this has been a tough message to preach. Always hard to preach on the home, amen. But I look out across our world this morning, and I see homes being ripped apart. I see moms and dads and marriages being destroyed. I see young lives being hurt and devastated. And it breaks my heart. It shatters me because you sit there and you see it and you wonder, Lord, can it be saved? Lord, can it be helped? And it can be helped. It can be saved if we let the grace of God do His work. If we let the Lord have His way. Do you have a happy home? Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Why not this morning? Why not ask God's blessings upon your home? Right where you're sitting, right where you're at, why not ask God's blessing upon your home while your children are about you? You know, folks, the sweetest thing your children could ever witness right now is seeing mom and dad, or it's seeing at least a parent come down around this altar and pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. While there is still time, give your home to Christ. How many in this room this morning said, Brother Tim, Lord spoke to my heart. Lord's dealt with me. Preacher, I know there's areas of my life that I need to strengthen. There's areas of my home I need to strengthen. Maybe there's some children I need to pray for. Maybe there's some grandchildren. Maybe as a child I need to pray for my mom and dad. But Tim, pray for me. God spoke to my heart and I need prayer. Pray for my home. If that be your prayer, would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. God bless you and you and many, many hands around the room. And I appreciate that. Thank you for raising your hand. And let me invite you in a moment, if you're able to, come down around this altar. Find a place of prayer. Say, Lord, by the grace of God, I want a home that honors you. I want a home that glorifies you. I want a home that is a godly Christian home. Help me have that kind of home. Father, we thank you once again for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray right now, speak to every heart. Lord, you know the hands that were raised. You know the people in this room right now. Lord, I pray that we here at Gospel Light Baptist Church will have homes that magnify the Savior. Give us moms and dads that love the Lord. Give us children that want to honor and respect their parents. Give us families that want to live a life that glorifies you in every area. Speak to hearts today. Lord, help us pray for our family. Help us pray for our children and grandchildren. Do a work in this room right now. In Christ's name I pray.